Good morning, church family. Come on, stand up across this room. Now that we're all wide awake, God's power, His presence is here. He desires our worship today. Let's engage our hearts.
We've waited for this day. We've gathered in Your name, calling out to You. Your glory like a fire, awakening desires, burn our hearts with truth. You're the reason we're here. You're the reason we're singing. Open up the heavens, we want to see You. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from Your heart, filling every part of our frame. Your presence in this place, Your glory on our face, we look into the sky. Descending like a cloud, You're standing.
There's nothing to fear now.
nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadow, you win every battle, and nothing can stand against the power of our God. And almighty fortress, you go you sit down, turn to your neighbor this morning and just greet them. Introduce yourself maybe to someone you don't know on this Time Change Sunday. God never slumbers, nor does He sleep. He is with us today. Sing through the night. Amen. You may be seated. Turn our attention to the baptistry this morning. Change lives to the glory of God.
Good morning, church family. I want to introduce you to a married couple today that are getting baptized together. This is Whitney Springer. Whitney did not grow up with any religious background. In fact, she didn't begin to pursue the things of Jesus until she saw what her child was learning at CLC, our Christian Learning Center. And that is what brought her ultimately to saving faith in Jesus. Whitney, are you being baptized today because you've trusted in Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Based on that public profession of faith and obedience with Christ's command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You guys can hear how passionate their life group is about baptism, which is awesome because this is Kyle Springer, and the truth about Kyle's testimony is that he did not come to saving faith in Jesus until he got plugged in with a life group and began to pursue the things of Jesus. Kyle, are you being baptized today because you've trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Based on that public profession of faith and obedience with Christ's command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life.
I love that enthusiasm. What a beautiful testimony of baptism. Well, good morning, church family. If I have not had the opportunity to meet you yet, my name is Tasha, and I serve the women of Prestonwood, and on behalf of our entire staff team, we want to welcome you to worship on this Time Change Sunday. This was the bad one. I wore a sweater the color of the sun, but the sun was nowhere to be found when I got up this morning, I got to tell you, but I am excited that we are going to have those longer days. Amen. That's going to be nice. Well, we are glad that you have made it a point to spend your morning with us, whether you're here in the room or whether you're joining us online. We are so thankful that you've decided to connect with us. And if you are joining us online, you can actually text the word connect to 55125. And we would love to get some information about our church to you. And if you are here in the room and maybe this is your first time joining us, we want to especially welcome you and ask you at the conclusion of this service, when you exit those doors, if you'll just kind of head to the middle of the atrium to our guest central, we would love to put some material in your hand, a little gift, and just hear what brought you our way. I've got to tell you, I've already had the privilege to hear our service and our sermon this morning from Pastor Neil Jeffrey, and I want to tell you, you are going to be encouraged. It's a beautiful account of Caleb's obedience to a faithful God, and it really just encouraged me and blessed me, and it was just a reminder that there are so many things every week that we get to encounter as God's people in this room and with the fellowship of others that so many people do not get to encounter. And we know so many of those. And so we are asking you as we head in to this home stretch towards Easter, the greatest celebration of Christ and his resurrection, we're asking for your help because we want to make sure that more people get to hear the hope that we have and that we experience in this room every Sunday. And so as you leave today, just like last week, we've got a table full of resources that you can use to just really get the word out for us. We have yard signs and invitations and lots of different ways that we can equip you to take an invitation to your family, your friends, your coworkers, and your neighbors. And we want to make sure that we do that. We're going to have actually 5 opportunities on Easter. We'll have our Good Friday service, and then on Saturday, we'll have 2 services at 5 and 6:30, and then our typical rhythm on Sunday at 8:30, 10, and 11:30. So you don't want to miss, and we want to make sure that we have opportunities for all of our friends and family. I'm going to invite the ushers forward this time as we prepare to continue worship through tithes and offering and singing. And would you join me in prayer? Father, we are so thankful for all that you do for us. We are thankful for the testimony of baptism today, Lord, for the transforming power of your son, Jesus, God. I pray that if there is even one in this room or listening online that has not been changed by the cross, Lord, that has not placed their faith in you, Father, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. I pray for Pastor Neil as he prepares to bring a message from your word, Lord. Speak to us. God, we know our hope is in you. And it is to that end that we commit the rest of this time together. Amen.
Thank you, Tasha. Hey, full disclosure this morning, I am so tempted in my own life to live my life trusting in myself and the strength that I have, abilities. But can I remind us today that our hope is in Jesus, our strength is in Jesus. He's our only hope.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. Oh, I stand.
He is our hope today.
In Christ alone. There in the ground his body lay.
Commands my destiny.
me home. Here in the power of Christ, I'll stand. Here in the power of Christ, I'll stand.
There was a moment when the lights went out, when death had claimed its victory. The King of Love had given up his life. The darkest day in history. There on a cross they made for sinners. For every curse his blood atoned. One final breath and it was finished. But not the end we could. For the earth began to shake and the veil was torn. What sacrifice was made as the
Jesus.
thank you, Jesus, for your presence that's in this place. Lord, we do declare that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are the name above every name. And with the breath that you've given us in our lungs, we turn that back into praise and gratitude unto your holy name. Lord, we ask that you reside in this place as we sit under your word and we sit in your presence. Lord, we ask that we be changed and that you bring more revelation to our hearts and to our lives. And please be glorified in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, good morning. It's great to, thanks for being here. Great to be with you. And I'm honored. Oh, I love being up here at, at this wonderful campus with you wonderful people. And it's always good to stand in for the great Connor Bales, who I love dearly and so thankful for him. And also, I always feel obligated just to warn everybody. If you heard me, you know this, but I do stutter. I am a stutterer. It makes it a little more exciting, and for you and for me. But just know that. And you know, I feel like I need to apologize also, because in the first service, I don't know if it's stuttering and allergies, whatever. But I got so dry, so I'm gonna keep having to sipping water, I guess. But anyway, I apologize for that. Hope the stuttering and the water thing is not a distraction. And you get to hear whatever the Lord has for you. And, you know, I believe with all my heart that the Lord has a word for us today. And it's in Joshua chapter 14. So if you have a Bible and want to turn to Joshua 14, I love the fact that you have in your own Bible. I know it's going to be on the screen and all that, but it's just wonderful to have your own Bible and to be able to look and just see that I'm not making this up. It's out of the book in Joshua 14. Of course, we're going through a series, as you know, if you've been around at all, of Joshua and how Joshua led the nation of Israel into the Promised Land through all the battles. And of course, we've done Jericho, the crossing of Jordan. Of course, before that, in Exodus, and all of that is the deliverance, Exodus out of Egypt, and going through the Red Sea, which was a miracle, all of that, and into the wilderness. And then the background of this story in Joshua 14 is, this is about Caleb today. Of course, Caleb was one of the 12 spies that just before Israel went into the Promised Land, Moses had them send some spies out just to check out the land and see what it was, or the prospects. And they go in there, all 12 of them go in there, spend 40 days, and come back out. And they said, all of this is in Numbers 13 and 14. Those 12 tribes said, the land is incredible. It's everything God said it would be. It's glorious, just fruit, just fertile. It's unbelievable. But there are giants in the land. And we, and the phrase they use in actually November 4, Numbers 14:33 is, they are giants and we are just grasshoppers in comparison to them. There's no way. And not only are they giants, they've got walled cities built up on hills. There's no way we can do this. So 10 of the spies report back and say, we cannot go. There's no way we can get in there. Two of the spies, Joshua and Caleb, said, God has said this is ours. And yes, there are challenges. Yes, there are giants. But God wants, and we are going to go through. We just got to believe our God and keep on going. Well, Israel, the whole nation of Israel said, and we're not going to go. And they didn't go. They didn't believe God. As a result of that, God said, any person, 20 and older at that time will not enter the promised land. Now, you're not going to be killed now. You're going to live, but you're going to die in the wilderness. You're not going to experience that because you didn't believe, except for the two who did believe, Joshua and Caleb. Well, 40 years have passed now. They're actually in the promised land. They've already crossed over the Jordan, which was a miracle, conquered Jericho, which was a miracle, all that stuff. Now they're standing. Joshua in 14 is dispensing the land, their inheritance. And this is fascinating because God told the whole nation of Israel, hey, this land is yours. It's all yours. Wherever your feet trod is yours. Well, all those people died in the wilderness. So now there's only two left who are going to experience their inheritance in the promised land. Of course, all the younger ones who have grown up now are there as well. But Jacob in chapter 14 is standing there, and he's going to get what God has for him. So he's going to make three great declarations, or three things that happen to him. Let me read this, starting to Joshua 14, 6 through 15. Here's what it says. He says, then the people of Judah, that's the nation of Israel, came to Joshua, who's the leader, at Gilgal, and Caleb. Now, there's going to be words in here I can't pronounce, so I'm going to fake it, okay? So Caleb, the son of Jerusalem, the Kenizzite, said to him, and here is Caleb speaking to Joshua. Here's what he says. You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, in Kadesh Barnea. He just reminds Joshua. Joshua, you remember 40 years ago, actually 45 years ago at this point, that Moses, God spoke to Moses, and Moses told us, we're going to go check out the land. He said, you know what the man, Lord said to Moses, God, back concerning you and me. I was 40 years old at the time when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me, of course, and you, Josh, from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought the word again as it was in my heart. I brought a word of faith, a belief. We're going to go. But, he says, verse 8, my brothers, these others, who went up with me, made the heart of the people melt. They had such a bad report. They said, we can't go. And just, they didn't believe. So, yet, he says, and this is Caleb talking about, yet, I wholly followed the Lord my God. That's a huge statement. I wholly believed and followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance for you and your children forever, because you're going to get this. Why? Because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. Now, that's first point is going to be all that. He's looking, he's remembering. He's remembering what happened. And you know what else he's remembering? I mean, he's in a good place. He's here in the promised land. Look at all the stuff he's going to get. He's in a wonderful place. And he looks back over where he was way back then, and he's amazed. He's wondering, how did I get here from there? Because it's God and the fact that he wholly believed and wholly followed God. Well, now, verse 10, now he's there, and he's rejoicing in what God has done. He says this, and now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive. Just as he said, these 45 years since the time that Moses spoke this word to Moses, while Israel walked in the wilderness, all those times he spared me because of God's grace. I'm still alive. And now he says, behold, I'm on this day 85 years old. Must have been his birthday. He's 85 now. And he says, I'm still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength. He spoke about the length of his life. I'm 85 years because of the grace of God blessed. And his strength he's speaking about, how good God is for me, now is as strong as it was then. I'm ready for war, for battle, for going and coming. It doesn't matter. So now, he says, so now give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day. He's claiming this, and he's actually claiming Hebron, one of the most glorious places in all of the promised land. Give me that hill the Lord spoke of the day. For you heard on that day how the Anakim, now the Anakim are the giants. Those are the ones who were in the land. They've been everywhere. Remember Goliath? Later on in the Bible, he's a descendant of this group. They're giants. He says this, they, the Anakim were there with great fortified cities, and he's going to discover, he's going to inherit this. There's going to be some giants there. He's got to drive them out. And so he said, it may be that the Lord, He will be with me, and I shall drive them out, just as the Lord said, I'm going to do it again. Whatever's ahead of me, I'm going to defeat. Then he says, that's his rejoicing of what God has done in his heart and in his life. Then third, he's going to receive. He's going to receive what God has for him. Here's how it says that in verse 13. And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to him. He got the best of the best of the best. He got a place, a wonderful place. The son of their inheritance. Therefore, Hebron became his inheritance. Because, again, it says this, he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. First thing. And it ends up at the end, verse 15, it's the land was rest from war. It's a place of peace, satisfaction. Here's the first thing he remembers. He looks back. What's fascinating about this, Caleb is in an incredible place, a wonderful place, a good place. I mean, he's in the promised land, and he's about to get what God had promised he would get if he would just believe. He's about to get that thing. But you know, he looks back, and he remembers, and he's overwhelmed. How did I get from being a slave? He was born as a slave 85 years ago in bondage in Egypt under the suffering, and they suffered immeasurably there. How did he get from there to here? Well, God did all kinds of just miracle after miracle with Moses and Pharaoh and the miracles and the plagues and all that stuff in the Red Sea. How did he get through that? They go through the Red Sea. That's impossible. Well, they get that done. Through the wilderness, through all that stuff, miracle after miracle, the presence of God, the cloud by day, the fire by night, all of that stuff. Actually, you know, he lived through, four books in the Bible. Incredible story. What a ride. Exodus. Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, now he's in Joshua. Just incredible. How did he get there? It's the most amazing story of all time. It's impossible. He remembers the only way I got here is because there's a great God in him, and he's done a great job in my life. And what I did, and he realized I did two things that made all the difference in the world. One, he just wholly followed the Lord. He just believed. And two, you know what else he did? He just believed in the word of God. He just, when God said something, he just obeyed it. It didn't matter what it he didn't analyze it. He didn't say that this doesn't make sense. He just believed. And because he believed and followed, God did incredible things. He just, you know, it says six amazing times that he wholly followed the Lord. It already said that in these verses, Joshua 14:9, Joshua 14:4. I read that. He wholly followed the Lord. It also says, if you want to look over there to Numbers 14, this is a great statement. God is making this statement in Numbers 14, he's actually saying verse 24 is where he says it. Before he says it, he said, none of the men who didn't believe are going to get there. None of them are. Except, he says, verse 24, but my servant Caleb. This is God speaking about Caleb. But my servant Caleb, because he's had a different spirit. And he has followed me fully. I will bring him into the land. He will possess it. He followed me holy, he said, number 14. He says it again, Numbers 32, 11 and 12. He says the same thing. Caleb, holy, follow the Lord. Deuteronomy 1, 35 and 36, he says it again. He wholly followed the Lord. Then all those three. The fact, the key to Jacob's life, the key to his story, the key to his journey, the key to his inheritance, he just humbly followed the Lord. He believed. There was something different about this guy. It was he trusted God. He believed in God. He obeyed God. Even with nobody else did, he still did. And you know what? This is fascinating because there were a lot of reasons not to believe God in this thing. Because there are giants over there. And there's walled cities. And there's enemies, and there's a whole lot of reasons not to believe, and a whole lot of people chose were not going to believe, but because they chose not to believe, they didn't get what God had for them. But some people, two guys, Caleb and Jacob, decide there are reasons to believe, and the reasons to believe were they knew the person of their God. This God who was speaking to them is the same God he spoke to Moses, who told Moses, Moses, there's going to be an Exodus. Regardless of the Pharaoh, regardless of the power of Egypt, I'm going to do a great thing here. God revealed himself to Moses and said, Moses, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And you can trust me. They saw not the giants, they saw their God. And their God also made promises. He said there, you will get through the other. We're going to believe God. And his presence, he said, I'm going to be with you in this, through this, all the way to the end. And Caleb had seen the power of God work before. He was there in the Egypt when all that incredible stuff happened, when Pharaoh's in charge. Pharaoh's the giant. He's got everything. All of Egypt is on the nation of Israel. But God said, there will be an exodus, and I'm going to... And Pharaoh even said to Moses, you remember this in Exodus chapter 5? Moses said, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, I don't know your God, and no, I'm not going to let your people go. Well, God did some incredible things, so Pharaoh, at the end of this thing, he knew who God was. God revealed himself powerfully. Caleb had seen all that. And getting through the Red Sea, there's no way. He dried the land. All of that. Conquering Jericho, there's no way. He knew the power of God. There is reasons not to believe, there always are. We got people in our world who just have every imaginable excuse and reason not to believe in this God. But somebody believes, and somebody who believes trusts Jesus Christ as Savior and follows him. You know what happened? God gets us to a good place. That's the bottom line. And ultimately, we're going to get in heaven. Talk about a good place. And when we get to heaven, we're going to do what Caleb is doing here. How did I get here? There's no way I get here. He said, by the grace of our God. You know, in one sense, how did I get here? Where I'm preaching at this great church and this great pulpit to you great people. I mean, when I was a sophomore in high school, I stuttered so good I couldn't say a silent prayer without stuttering. How do I get there to here? There's no way. It's impossible. Except there's a great God in heaven. He wants to do great things in the lives of his people. I don't know why we don't believe that and just accept that. All we got to do is follow him. You know, it all starts when we believe in Jesus. Acts 16:31, hey, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? You will be saved. It's going to change your life. It's going to be a different spirit about you. And then he says, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, yes, you believe, but then trust me, just follow me. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. Wholly follow him, and he will direct your paths. He'll make your paths straight. It's what Psalm 23 says. You know what Psalm 23 says. I mean, we all know what Psalm 23 says. The Lord is my shepherd. What are we doing? All we're doing in this whole thing called life, we're just following the shepherd. And because we've got a shepherd who's so glorious, and that shepherd's Jesus, I shall not want. I have everything that I need. And you know what? He's leading us. He's leading us through the whole thing. He makes me lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside the water. He leads me in the path of righteousness. And then even though I walk through the valley, you know, he's leading us. And yes, we're going to go through hard times. Yes, we're going to experience death and disease, all that stuff. But he's going to lead us through the valley of the shadow of death. He's taking us through this thing. He's going to be with us. For you are with me, he says. Your rod and staff, they come for me. That's all I need is you. And you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You know my head with oil. And then he says this amazing statement. We follow him. What happens? A promise is, we have a shepherd. We're following the shepherd. All we're doing is following the shepherd. And this whole thing is like Caleb did. He says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Then the one who we're following with all of our heart, who's leading us, surely goodness and mercy will follow. There's still going to be hard times, but in the midst of the hard times, surely goodness and mercy will follow all the days of my life. And then the shepherd is going to take me on the other side. How am I going to get there? I don't know. I'm trusting in the shepherd, the Lord Jesus, to get me there. He says, and I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm just trusting in him. It's what Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. I know the plans I have for you, every one of you. I know the plans I have for you. Plans for wholeness, not for evil, not for something bad, but to give you a future and a hope. I'm just deciding, as Caleb did, I'm going to believe the Lord and I'm going to follow him with all my heart, all my soul, through anything and everything in life. And the end result is I'm going to end up in a good place, just like Caleb did. The second thing he did, he believed with all of his heart. But you know, he just obeyed the word of God. He trusted the word of God. When God said it, he just did it. He just obeyed. Whatever God said, he believed. Whatever God said, he trusted it. Whatever God said, he acted upon. That was the confidence Caleb had, was in the word of God. It's where he got his courage. How do you stand up against a giant? And how does a shepherd boy, David, stand up against a giant? His confidence in the word of God. His confidence in him and in that slingshot, it's in his God who's greater than that giant. He believed the word of God. And now, you know, He knew God's word is true, and God's word's going to come to pass. What God says is going to happen is going to happen. Actually, he was there back, remember this, back in Egypt, when all the plagues were happening. There were 10 plagues in all that. I mean, we made movies about that whole thing in Egypt. It was so amazing. Well, the 10th plague was the plague of the death of the firstborn. Every firstborn of every family and every firstborn of even livestock would die on this night. Unless, when the death angel passed over, he sees the blood on the door, on the sides of the door and on the top of the door. And if the death angel sees the blood, he passes over and everyone lives in that house. If the blood's not there, firstborn dies. Now, God said that. Now, you can build a case, I guess. And there's skeptics out there who would say, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. Well, somebody there, I guarantee you, somebody in Egypt said that. Hey, this is stupid. I'm not going to do it. Well, you don't do it. You know what happens? Firstborn dies. If you believe it, if you obey it, if you do it, if the blood's there, you know what? You live. He knew God said that, which sounds pretty bizarre, but you know what? It was true. It came to pass. The Red Sea, the whole idea of leaving Egypt. Hey, we're going to leave Egypt. We're leaving this. We're going. And the people said, we're not sure where we're going. We know there's a problem. But how are we going to do that? We don't know. We're going by faith. Well, God said, go. They went. Then the Red Sea, that Holy Spirit in the Red Sea, and God said, hey, you got the mountains behind you, the soldiers, all that stuff. We got to go forward. We're going through the Red Sea. And we see, there's no way. That's the stupidest thing I've ever. That's impossible. No, God said it. What did they do? Then they took that step in the Red Sea. They walked at the parts, but they walked through it. There's no way. God said, God's word's true, and it comes to pass. You can say that all the way through. Caleb realized, hey, I'm here. You know what? Because I'm just following God in all this thing, and I've just believed in the Lord. How about Jericho? Man, God said, here's how you're going to defeat Jericho. You know the story. Just, you know, circle the city once and do all this stuff. Then on 6 days, seventh day, go on seven times. Somebody said, that's ridiculous. They did it. Walls fall down. Just God's word was true, and it came to pass. You know what? God's word says, if I confess my sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, I will be saved. Skeptics hear that and think, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. You mean if you get on your knees and you pray and say, I'm a sinner, I need a Savior, ask Jesus Christ, that God's going to step out of heaven and step into your heart through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit? And he's going to save you, forgive you, make you a brand new person in life, and give you the gift of eternal life. You mean that's God? There's no way that can happen. A scientist can analyze that and say, there's no way, it's impossible. That is God's word. It's true. It's going to come to pass. If a man does that, it's going to change your life and give you heaven in the midst of all he wants to do in your life here. He just believed the word of God and acted on it. And you know what? He believed the word of God. That word got him through anything and everything. It got him through victoriously, faithfully, fruitfully, totally, and completely. He realized, the only reason I'm here, because from where I was, is because we're God. You know what? Some of us, maybe, I don't know this, but you know, some of us may not be in a good place. You may be in a great place in your life. But you know, it always begins with decisions, with what I'm doing. You make, my dad says to me 1,000 times, son, you make a loser decision, you're going to get a loser result every single time. You make a winner decision, you get a winner result, consequence. Hey, you make an ungodly decision, you're going to get an ungodly result. You're going to end up not in a good place. You make a godly decision, you get God and what he has for you. He remembered. It's because of God. Second thing, you know, he rejoiced. That's verses 10. And you know what he's rejoicing about? And actually, you know what this is in his life? It's a victory moment. I mean, he knows where he was, who he was, all that stuff. Now he's here, and it's glorious. He's looking at all the stuff he's going to get that God's going to bless him with. And he just realizes, I don't even deserve to be here, but I'm here. And just a moment of victory. Now, I don't know if he did that or not. He should have done that. Because it's a major moment of victory. God, and the victory is, you know what? I see victory in my life, what God has done, because I trusted him and believed him. And actually, he's rejoicing because he realized, I am an overcomer. I am a conqueror, he realizes. Not because of me, but because of my God who's in me. And I'm not just a conqueror. It's what Romans says. I am more than a conqueror through Christ who loves me as him. Well, you know what? Hey, here's some things that got conquered in this whole thing. And this is real quick. I just mentioned it. But three things I got to mention real quick. It's just, you know what got conquered in this thing for Caleb? The whole grasshopper effect. Now, I didn't know what else to call this, and that's really not a good name. But, you know, it's the idea that they saw themselves back then as grasshoppers compared to the giants. And they said, you know, we can't go there because we are not as big as they are. We're not as good as they are. We don't have what they have. You know, I spent my whole life with my struggle with stuttering, my bad self-image, all the stuff I've struggled with all my life. I've always thought like I'm a grasshopper in the midst of all these giants and all these other people in my life and all this social media in my life and all this world stuff in my life. I've always seen myself in the light of what the giants say that I am. They say I'm a grasshopper, I'm only a grasshopper. We end up seeing ourselves in light of the world around us, in light of people around us. We see ourselves in the light of the whole culture and social media around us, instead of seeing ourselves in the light of who we are in Christ, who Jesus, what he's done in our lives and done our heart. God is a great God. That great God is in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, Christ in us is the hope of glory, is what the Bible says. And the whole deal is, hey, I'm going to see me not as what they say I am. I'm not a grasshopper. Man, I've been created by a great, a glorious God. He has a great plan for my life. And even in the midst of my struggle, he's going to use the struggle for his glory, for my good, to be a witness for Jesus Christ. He created me. He died for me. He's forgiven me. He's cleansed me. He's made me a man in Christ. All this stuff. And it don't matter what you say about me, what the giants say about me. I know who I am in Christ Jesus, and I'm going to live that out. That grasshopper thinking thing got defeated. It was conquered. Caleb said, and then giants. And you know what? There are giants. The giants got conquered in this thing. There are giants out there. I mean, they were then. They are now. Our world. Three big giants against the world. Well, the world itself, which is against our God. The flesh is always a struggle. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I hate that. I'll pay for that. I'll pay for that without that. I tell Connor, I'll pay for that. But there are giants out there. And, you know, let me read this verse real quick. And I love this. Deuteronomy 9, 1 through 3. Listen to what this says. This is fascinating. God's speaking here, and he says, Deuteronomy 9, 1. Hear, O Israel, you are to cross over Jordan. That's the word of God. You're going that way. To go and to dispose of nations greater than you are and mightier than you are. And the reason is because God is greater and mightier than anything that's out there. But he says, there's a people there, great and tall. The sons of Anakim. You remember Anakim? I told you, you remember that? Those are the giants. They're there. And he says, the sons of Anakim, whom you know, of whom you've heard. Everybody knows about these giants. Everybody's afraid of these giants. These giants dominate everything, is what he says. And then this phrase, who can stand before the sons of Anak? Who can stand before these giants? Of course, the world says, nobody can stand. They win. But you know, there's somebody. Caleb and Joshua say, you know, we're going to stand. We're going to stand against these giants. And they said, yes, there are giants out there. I can see them. But the Lord's going to be with us, and we're going to drive them out. You know, Joshua 15, the next Joshua 14, Caleb gets his land. He goes in there, and there are giants. The three sons of Anak are there. And it says, Caleb drove them out. He just conquered them. And Caleb and Joshua said, we're going to stand. You know what? David said he was going to stand. There's a giant he's actually fighting, Goliath. Because nobody in Israel is going to fight this guy. For 40 days, he's laughing at Israel. Until a shepherd boy shows up who believed in his God and realized, yeah, that's a giant, but my God is greater than that giant. And he says, I'm going to stand up against the giant. It's what Daniel said in Daniel chapter 1. He's a slave in a foreign country, and everybody's pagan. Everybody's doing the wrong thing. Daniel says, I'm going to stand up against, I will not defile myself with all this pagan stuff. And the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the whole world around them is bound to this false god. And they said, we're not going to bow. We're standing up to this giant. You know, the bottom line is, God is looking for a man. He's looking for a woman. In the midst of this world where everybody's compromising, everybody's having sex all over the place, everybody's doing everything their own way, the world way, the ungodly way, everything, somebody's got to stand up. And we can stand up and say, you know what? I'm going to stand up against the giant that we're facing in this world that's all around us, this whole culture that's doing all this stuff. I'm standing up because, again, it isn't us. It's the God who's in us, who's with us, and he's going to give us the victory. You know, one more little deal, and I got to show you this. This is another interesting thought. I just saw this. I read this in some commentary in some book. But Numbers 14, listen to this. He's saying this is Moses and all those guys talking. He said, don't rebel against the Lord. Go forward, he says. Numbers 14:9. He says, don't fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Do you see that phrase in there? Is it up there? A next little deal. Oh, there it is, right there. They are bread for us. Now, is that a fascinating little phrase? What does that mean? Hey, don't fear them. They're bread to us. Now, I love bread. What does that mean? I claim to know fully what it means. But I know this. Bread is good to eat for growth, right? For strength. For maturing. Maybe what he's saying is, hey, you think these giants are there to defeat you, these giants are going to even make you stronger, make you greater, make me accomplish more things in your life. You're afraid to go before these giants. You don't worry. I'm going to use these giants in your life to make you who I've created you to be, to do all the, you know, it's James 1:2-4. Consider it all joy when you encounter various trials. When there's a giant, rejoice, because the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have a perfect result that you might be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. We can be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. Why to the giants? The point is, I am going ahead and doing it. He conquered the grasshopper effect, the giants, and then I don't have time for this, the gray hair. I use that is because it starts with a G. And Caleb is an old man. He's 85. But you know what? Even at 85, he's given praise to his God for the length of his life. He said, I'm 85. And this is interesting also. He said, God has been faithful to me these 45 years since God spoke to Moses while Israel walked in the wilderness. You know what's amazing about that is? Caleb believed God. He should have been in the promised land 40 years ago because he knew what God said. And yet he's wandering in the wilderness for these 40 years. He had to have some moments of discouragement, had to have some ideas, why am I going there? But you know what ultimately probably he was doing? Why God was faithful to him through all that? Because even though his feet went in the wilderness, his heart and mind was always in the promised land. He believed not where he was, not even where he had been. He believed in where he was going. I'm going. We, as a Christian, that's why our citizenship is not here, it's there. And we await to see the Lord Jesus. In the strength of his life, he could do anything. Well, then, last thing, real quick, I got 2 minutes. He receives. You know what he receives? He receives the inheritance. That's verse 13. He blessed him and gave him Hebron. Wish I had more time to talk about it. But you know what Hebron actually means? It means fellowship. It means unity. I mean, that's where the presence of God is. And he got fellowship. And you know what else? He said, I want the hill country. I want it all. I want the fullness of everything the promised land has for me. And you know what else? It was the most fruitful place in the promised land. I want the fruit. I want everything. I want, you know what? As a Christian, that is what we get when we get Jesus. That's our promised land. We get Jesus. What? You get a fellowship with the Most High God. And we get the fullness of everything God wants us to have and to experience. You know, too many Christians have a relationship with Jesus Christ, but they're just not experiencing the fullness of what God wants them to have in a relationship with Him. And then we get fruit. Fruit of the Spirit, and we get fruit. And then last, you know what else you got? You got peace. And the land had rest from war, is what the last thing. Ultimately, you know what that means? A peace that satisfies. It's satisfied. He's in a good place. He knows he's in a good place. And he's just rejoicing. You know, I know a life is hard. It's a challenge. I mean, it has been for me. It's up and down, good, bad. It's all over the map. But you know what? I started as a 16-year-old sophomore in high school, and I accepted Jesus Christ. He started me on a journey. And essentially, I'm not smart enough to get here. I'm not good enough. I'm not any of those things. I'm just following Jesus. This morning, if you don't like where you are, if you don't like where you're headed, if you don't like what's going on in your life, you know, it may all go back to a decision you made not to believe in God. And I'm going to do all this other stuff. All of my friends and what everyone else said, I'm doing that stuff. And it just only ends up with the world has and the world never has enough. Maybe it's today to say, you know what? I'm choosing Jesus. I'm going to believe. I'm going to trust Him as my Savior. And then I want to wholly follow Him with all my heart the rest of my life. And He's going to lead you through anything and everything. So just a moment. I'm going to pray. After I pray, we're going to stand. After we stand, we're going to sing a song. And if you need to have a whole new direction in your life, something different about you, and what that is Jesus. And I guess the world would say, hey, there's a whole reason not to believe. I would say there's a whole reason to believe. Because ultimately, you get Jesus. You get God. And you get a future and a hope. And you get heaven. So in just a moment, if you need to change the course of your life, why don't you change by making a decision right now that changes that. If you need to make a commitment of your life, you accepted Jesus, you've been on a journey, but you're getting off path, you're not really following Him and not trusting His word, just, you know, maybe a recommitment. You know, God is never as concerned about what we have done, good, bad, or ugly, as much as He's concerned about what we decide to do next. And my next step is toward Jesus. Would you bow your heads? We're going to pray. Just have a short invitation. God, I'm asking you to speak as only you can speak to the heart and lives of every person here. And you know exactly who's here. And God, you know exactly what that person needs in their heart, in their life at this moment. I don't know that, but God, you do. And I'm asking you to say what that person needs for you to say to them for the sake of their life, their relationships, their family, and their future. And God, when you speak, just say it so clearly to every heart that everyone will know that word was for me. And they'll receive it, and they'll obey it. And there's someone here I know who needs to make a decision public and come forward to accept Jesus, to join this church, to recommit their life to Christ. Lord, bless this time, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand?